Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle, and you're listening to episode 125 with Julie Seals. Today, you're going to learn more about Julie, who is a speaker, author, and an ordained minister. She has a wonderful husband, Mike, who works alongside her in their prison ministry. Julie also leads her Hope Recovery ministry. Among other things, though, that she does, it's really the core of who she is that really shines. And today, let me ask all of you sitting here, maybe you're in a car, walk or run, or wherever you might be, let me ask you a question for this episode to start you off. Have you ever said to yourself the age-old statement, never will I blank? You insert that, your own thinking right there. Never will I. Got it? So maybe it has to do with your career, or maybe your kids, or parenting, or marriage, or singleness, or whatever it might be. Never will I blank. Maybe it's going through addiction, or you see your family going through addiction, or friends, or never will I see blank happen in my life, or this, or change, or whatever it might be. There are times that we might say to ourselves that hard statement of never. Never will I blank. And sometimes we say that as like a defense mechanism, right? So if we just believe, right, that it's never going to happen, just maybe it won't happen, so we don't get our hopes up. Is that right? Maybe sometimes we do that. Or maybe you're asking yourself the question, will this bad circumstance or an accumulation of series of never-ending bad breaks ever end? I mean, if we're all being real with one another, we probably have all thought about these things that we can't see past the next step or where we're going to take our step, or we can't, you know, it's too clouded, the area, what we can't see. And it just seems like what we're dealing with today is too heavy to hold on to a promise or hope for tomorrow. Or perhaps it's a perspective that you're holding on to and need a reminder from Mark Batterson, who said, don't put a period where God is placing a comma. You know, Julie stirs up this encouragement within all of us to find the comma, to find the pause, to take a moment and take a step back, because God is writing our stories. And what a story he has written about Julie. She's going to stir up the encouragement coming from prison and addiction and breaking every narrative that somebody's probably ever said about her. Never will Julie do this or that. Now she is an author, speaker. Her books are all over the country and all over around the world. And you hear her speak on all different types of platforms. And it's just incredible to see what God stirred up with her yes. So I just love that so much because it reminds you that we really shouldn't say never, but allow God to have it all and surrender. And Julie's life was, you know, like I said, not full of hope all the time, but she looks back and goes, I'm glad that people never stop praying for me. And I just, maybe you are in the middle of praying, you think, will this ever work out? Or I don't see this ever happening, or never will this ever happen. Just keep on praying, keep on pushing through. You know, I just love how what she maybe would have thought, or somebody looking at her life would have thought, you know, she missed the opportunity, or she or could have looked at her life and go, well, it's only going to go downhill from here. And it didn't. It only went skyrocket to the mountains, the moon, up higher than you could ever imagine. So Julie is a living testimony of why we should not say never. And Julie also unpacks pieces of her miraculous story, which you can hear more of from her newly released book called All My Hope, Prisoner No More. The link is in the show notes. Get a copy right there. Yep, right there after listening, okay? And, you know, she also shares ways, though, that we can end this cycle of on repeat of saying never or discouragement or disappointment and letting this keep us in the pit. And she stirs up the encouragement that we need to live by faith and not by sight. So you're all going to go ahead and grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, and wherever you are, friends, be encouraged. Let's go. Hey, everybody, and thank you so much for joining in. Today, I have a special treat for you. I have an author and a writer. You know, she's just so wears many hats, but Julie Seals is who we've got as our guest speaker today. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It is so great and awesome to be here with you and get to chat.
Yes, I'm so excited to collaborate with you. I feel like it's a long time coming. We've been chatting, you guys, on and off. A little bit here and there. And I just cannot wait to deep dive into Julie's story, her testimony. And more importantly, we're going to talk about never say never. So before we hop into that topic, I have been starting off our conversations with our guest speakers with asking this question to get to know you. So what brings you joy, Julie?
What brings me joy is being sober. Things like having a real family, a husband, being a mom and a grandma, those are the things that many people take for granted, but they bring me great joy because I didn't always have those things. Jackie, not being a fugitive with a meth lab in my house brings me joy. There was a day that was me. And also, tacos bring me joy. I love tacos.
Taco Tuesdays, gotta love it. Well, I love that you shared those things because I think food, family, like you mentioned all of the things. And yes, tacos are great too, not gonna lie. However, so when we pivot here, I'm gonna just go into that phrase, never say never. So we're gonna hop into that. And I think in life, I don't know, Julie, never say never. I don't know how many times I probably have said that or have heard the phrase or heard somebody else say it. It's just something that is a catch-all phrase when we feel like we've given up, we've backed into a corner, we're in a pit, we can't get out, we can't see how the circumstances will change. The weight of the burden, you know, that knocks us over just feels too heavy. Or, you know, the list can go on and on. And the things that we might say to ourselves, I don't know if you're listening, have you ever said maybe things like, I'll never achieve this dream. Blank, you know, the person I'm praying for will never blank. What I'm dealing with will never change. The relationship that I'm in will never be blank. The list goes on and on, right? We can play this never will I ever or ever will see game. And I'm just curious, as we land upon these words, never say never, what comes to mind? Is there a time that maybe you said these words before? And you can begin with your story here, or you can start wherever your heart leads you.
Yeah. So when I hear the words never say never, I got to a point in my life, Jackie, where I felt like and thought and believed that things would never change, that I would never have joy, that I would never be the mom that I so desperately wanted to be for my precious little boy. And what happened is I was born with a birth defect called spina bifida. I had neurological issues. Really, I was supposed to die when I was born. But that the doctors told my parents I was going to die. So they took me home to die. And God had other plans. I had neurological issues from the spina bifida that impacted my feet and my legs. And it turned out when I was about 28 years old, I had my left leg amputated below the knee. I was, by that time, I was horribly trapped in an addiction to alcohol and crystal methamphetamine. I grew up in Southern California. There was a lot of emphasis on the women being a size 000. I mean, who's ever even heard of a 000, right? there is. But there was this emphasis. And so I wanted to lose weight. I was in this Southern California, Hollywood influence. And I tried a line of crystal meth because I wanted to lose 20 pounds. And that took me on a journey straight to hell on earth. I had my leg amputated as a result of spina bifida. And I was married to a man, and that marriage was not good. It was not working out at all. And I was unable to see that the biggest problem was me. It wasn't the spina bifida. It wasn't poor me. I have my leg amputated. It wasn't my marriage isn't working out. It was me. And I was a sinner in need of a savior, but I didn't see it. And so all I could see was what would never work out in my life, what was never going to be okay. I would never have joy. I would never have happiness. And in my effort to get away from the never say never mentality and, not be faced with what wasn't working, I decided to run away from life. So I took my little boy, my only son, Tyler, and I ran away from all my problems.
Right.
And I ran from California, where I was living, all the way to Tennessee. When I got to Tennessee, my biggest problem was still there because my biggest problem was me. It was Julie without Jesus. And after living in Tennessee for 2 years, I was mixed up with the wrong people. And if you get my book, you can read the whole story. You've got my book. You
Yeah, it's
will
so good.
read
You guys
all
have
of
to read it.
it. Yes. But long story short, for the sake of the podcast today, I was living in Tennessee for a couple years, mixed up with the wrong people because I was trapped in addiction. I ended up losing my only precious little boy during a custody battle. And I, at the same time, shortly thereafter, my dad died unexpectedly of lung cancer. So it was like blow after blow after blow. And every time I would say, things are never, here's one I would say, things could never get worse.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. But what happened is, in that place of desperation, I didn't know that there was a God who loved me so much that in my worst condition, he would chase me down. And after my dad died and I lost my son, I moved to Mexico. I had a plan to end my life, and I went to a pharmacist and got a bottle of pills, and I was going to take them all. And I thought, I've never done anything right. So if I take that bottle of pills, I'm probably going to wake up again and be half a vegetable. And, then I'll have to deal with some aftermath that's even worse. So I didn't take them. I lived in Mexico for 2 years, and my goal was to stay numb so that I didn't have to think about all of the pain. And I did a really good job of staying numb. After living in Mexico for 2 years, just a snapshot, I was living as a fugitive on the run in Ensenada, Mexico, with a meth lab in my house. I was involved with the mafia, and the Federales, the Mexican Drug Task Force, was raiding my house with black masks and machine guns drawn. And one day in Mexico, they never found a thing because of God. I didn't realize it at the time, but now I'm telling you, the Lord was there with me. And I would drive by churches in Mexico, and it would say Iglesia Pentecostal. And I would, something deep inside of my addicted alcoholic heart
Yeah.
would be, ah, there's something in there for me. I need to go in there. But I was never sober on a Sunday, so I never went. One day I found out in Mexico, I hurt my foot. I went to a doctor in Mexico, and there was like a big ulcer, which is what happened to my other leg. And that's how I lost my other leg. And the doctor in Mexico said, Julie, you're going to lose this leg too as soon as gangrene sets in, which should be any time. And I went home from that doctor's appointment, Jackie, and I fell on the floor and I was weeping and sobbing. You know, the ugly cry with
Yeah.
all the snots coming out and everything. And it was as though the Holy Spirit
Wow.
descended into my living room and pulled back the blinders, that I started crying out to God. I felt the presence of God. And I knew he was in my living room with me. And I said, God, I don't know how to pray. And I don't know if you can hear me, but I knew he was there. And I said, I need you to become the center of my life, or I'm going to be lost forever. And I said, I don't care what it takes. Do whatever it takes, because I cannot meet you halfway. The very next day, the mafia came to my house and asked me to take drugs across the border for money. And I thought God didn't hear me because nothing was changed. Nothing was different. Sometimes people think they're going to cry out to God and wham, everything changes in that moment. And that does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
But I got up the next morning and didn't think anything happened and didn't think God heard me.
Yeah.
So I told them that I would do it, that I would take drugs across the border for money, and I let them duct tape 4 pounds of crystal meth around my waist. They drove me to the border and I got out on the Mexico side. I was supposed to walk through to San Diego and get in the vehicle and drive to Mafia. Instead, I ended up walking up to a customs officer with a gun and I told her what I was doing and I turned myself in. And it was
Then
there,
what?
right?
Yeah.
And it was there in federal prison in San Diego, facing 17 years to life, that I met a group of prison ministry volunteers who came into the prison, and one of them saw me crying, sat on my bunk, and convinced me that Jesus Christ loved me. He died for my sins, and he had a good plan for my life. And I believed her. And I surrendered my heart and my life to Jesus there in that federal prison.
Wow.
And the first scripture that God showed me was Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And in that moment, Jackie, for the first time, I was 35 years old. For the first time in my life, I was free on the inside. There I was on the inside of what society calls the wrong side of the razor wire,
Yeah.
but I was free for the first time. And I knew it. And the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. And I went in that federal prison from a woman who used to say, things will never go right, things will never change, things will never be fixed, to a woman who says, God will never fail me. Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. My
Wow.
circumstances might be terrible, but my God will never lose his power. And all
Wow.
things are working together for good.
Wow, that's so powerful. I love how you take on this. Well, you had this prisoner mindset. And I think in anyone can relate to us entrapping our shame and our guilt and just trapping it up. And sometimes we run from it. In other ways, it comes out in various ways. And addiction can be one of them. And you shed that light into that, how it's funny. I just have to think about your story because when you said two things here, and I'm just going to backpedal a bit, you said two things in your story. You said that you felt something when you passed the church and it
Yes.
almost like leaped out of your chest. And the second time was in your room when you said, Lord, make be the center of my life. Like you could feel his presence, like this freeing presence. And
Yes.
that doesn't happen just to, just, I don't know. You can only explain it by God, I'm sure. But I just like that those are the two big connecting dots. And then
Yes.
as you're sitting on your bed crying and allowing everything that you've held in for so long to seep out, and truly hand it over to the Lord, it's like the chains are just melting away. It's not like they're just falling off. They just like melted off. Like they just were done. Like they just all of a sudden, it was like it was a little bit, God was unlocking something there, and then God was unlocking something there. And then all of a sudden, he just broke everything off. And it was because your step of obedience to say, yes, Lord, I need you. And to listen. And I just think that's so powerful because even as a believer now, we can entrap our minds in negative thoughts, compare our life to other people. Well, or we can have those moments of when it rains, it pours. I mean, we've all been there when, we get the flat tire and then, there's something that happens at the job and the coworkers aren't nice or this or that. We always have something that one thing after another and the kids are sick. And, there's always this thing of like, can we get above water? And the most freeing thing is what I'm seeing in your story is making that connection to God.
Yes. And
Yeah.
that's it. That is the key to everything. There's a scripture, I think it's in Matthew, and Jesus says that when we hang on to our life, when we try to hang on to our life, we will lose it. But when we give up our life for his sake, then we will find it.
Yeah.
And how much Like this, what I'm sharing with you, my testimony, this was 24 years ago. I've been out of prison by the grace of God, clean and sober. I've been out of prison for 23 years now. And now I'm an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. And so is my husband. God brought a husband into my life after I got out of prison. And we've been doing prison ministry for 18 years. And he has turned everything around. He ended up reuniting me with my son. Didn't see my son for 13 years. And I stood on the word of God. Instead of being that woman that would say, this is never going to work out, I became the woman that said, I am never going to stop believing what the word of God says. And God showed me Jeremiah 31, 17, that says, there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children shall come again to their own land. And when he showed me that scripture in prison, he said, Julie, that's a rhema word. Hang on to that word because you're going to see Tyler again.
Wow, that's a
Now, he didn't
word.
tell me when, he didn't tell me how. So I had to walk by faith and not by sight and trust his timing. And really, there's no better way because, if our life is in our hands and our story is in our hands and we're holding the pen, I'm going to tell you, we are not going to write a very good story because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. And he is the one who created us for a purpose greater than anything we could ever imagine. And if we will put the pen in his hands, him write our story. I'm telling you, it will, he will do things with a fully surrendered life and heart that we could never make up or dream up or walk in our own ability and power.
It's so good. And then just on the flip side of that, and I really, that resonates so much. I love Isaiah 55, what you quoted there, and his ways are higher and better. Like it really, really does take the picture out of our hands that we're trying to build. And he gives us a beautiful tapestry of something even greater. And I love that thought. I love that beautiful picture in my mind. And I think, I don't know about you, but what helps you not to go back to the imprisonment in your mind? Like, what helps you to not be compelled to spiral into a trap of running away from God or thinking that you can do this better? Or, like, what helps you stay the course?
I would definitely say the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we have to, so Joyce Meyer calls it stinking thinking. Ch we have to change our stinking thinking. And Louis Giglio has a book called Don't Let the Enemy Have a Seat at Your Table. And a friend of mine who is a coach, she says, you've got to mind your mind. In other words, and then the Bible says we have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So really, making sure that I am in the Word, the living, breathing, rhema, Word of God every single day, so that I'm hiding it in my heart, so that I know what is God saying. What does God say about my life? What does God say about my circumstance? And we have to stir, the Bible says to, I think it was Timothy said, stir, we have to stir the gift of faith up within us. Sometimes there's nobody in our circumstance and in our seemingly, hopeless situation. We might not have anybody in there in the room with us. And we've got to stir up our own faith and getting in the Word of God is the number one thing that has always helped me to stay surrendered to him.
Wow, that's so good. And I love that you said stir up. Sometimes you got to stir your own faith up, whether
Yes.
you're in the car today and you're driving somewhere, whether you're sitting at work and you're doodling on the notepad, whatever you're doing. I love that. So practical. Like, stir it up. What does God say? What does he say about you? What does he say about your circumstance? It's in his what? His hands, right? Like, We can give it all to him because he says, come to me, all who are heavy burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. We can enter his rest freely. And I love that thought. I mean, just that's stirring me up, Julie. I'm like, yes. And another thing, you know, I'm just thinking of scripture, but you're right. The one thing that will stir us up is the word of God. And that really is that belt of truth that we wear in their full armor of God. And it really kind of holds it together when we feel like we're going to drop our shield of faith and so on. So yeah, so good.
Yeah, and then another thing too, real quick, is spending time with him, not just opening up the word and reading it, but spending time with him and letting him speak to us, because prayer isn't all about us talking to God. You
Yeah.
know, we need to listen. And what one it's another practical thing. I journal. I've been journaling for my entire 23 years of living for God. And when you journal, you know, we live in this high tech, high speed society with all these distractions, and we have our phone and we scroll, you know, scrolling on social media. And it's almost like we train our brain to scroll quickly from one thing to the other in life.
Distraction, yeah.
Yeah. Well, journaling slows you down. It slows me down anyway.
Yeah, it slows me down. I hear
Yeah. Like I can't write that fast.
you.
So, just writing, journaling my prayers, journaling, God, I love you so much. Thank you for being there. And then, you know, just journaling our thanks, journaling our praise, writing God a love letter. And what happens is it's pausing me, and I start hearing the voice of God speak to me. In my journals, I've got where I'm writing to the Lord, and I'll sense him responding, and I'll start writing what he's saying back to me. And I can go back, Jackie, for 23 years, and I can find where God has told me, Julie, walk by faith, not by sight. Keep your eyes on me. I am going to bring your son again. So don't you give up. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you wherever you go. And I can look back over 23 years. And everything that the Lord has told me has come to pass.
It's so good.
Yeah, time with God.
Time with
Not
God.
just a checklist, not just a check off the block. Okay, whoop, there I read one scripture, you know, but real
No.
time with Him.
Oh, it's so precious. You can't, I would, I, for me in the morning, I just want to magnify that time. Like, can I just pause right
Yes.
here in the, in this moment? I don't want to have to, get moving with my day and the daily things. But I will say it, and it's just been such a more of a discipline over the past year, really, of every day. And my kids know, and sometimes my son Luke will come in the morning and snuggle and I'll say, what part are you reading your Bible today? What do you, can I write something in your journal? And it's the most precious time, before you get your day, because you're right. Sometimes we live in those moments of never will it, this ever happen. And sometimes we live in those moments of when it rains, it pours. But the one who knows what's going on is God. He knows every detail in your day and the things you can't see in your tomorrow and all your 23 years, Julie. I just thank you so much for giving us that peace of mind, even because I'm sure somebody might be, have just gone through a lot of trauma. And I don't know who you are listening today, but maybe you're facing trauma. Maybe you're facing a custody battle, or maybe you're facing like, hey, my life, the first, from 21 to 40 was just a hard time. But, Satan got you and it took you further than you wanted to ever go. And now you're rebuilding your season. Can I tell you, God he still has you. If he can do it for Julie, he can do it for you. If he brought her and redemption to her and her son Tyler and family and where you are today, Julie, I just think that's such hope for somebody today. And just journaling that out and seeing God's faithfulness. I think sometimes we want that satisfaction of like it's that snap like you had talked about, right?
Yes. And then with Never Say Never, I talked, God told me to write my story. He told me to write a book. And he said, you're going to write a book and you're going to encourage people with it and send it to prisons. And I drug my feet. It took me 6 years to write the book. And some people probably thought she's never going to write that book. But it not only did I finish the book, it got published in October of 2023. And listen, Ephesians 3 and 20, Jackie, I'm watching God perform his word. He's doing exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what I could think, dare, ask, or imagine with this book because I obey, because I told him yes. Copies of the book are now in every prison in Florida, 27 Texas prisons in Oklahoma, Missouri, Montana, Louisiana, North Dakota, and the books are also in teen challenges in Montana, North Dakota, Florida, and I think a couple other states, and 20 copies are in a Uganda prison. And
Yes, to God be the glory. That's so cool.
yes, and it is currently being translated into Spanish. And I
Amazing.
know, I'm just, and I've talked to some missionaries in other countries that
Yeah.
are like dangerous countries because they're
Yeah.
not Christian and they don't allow Christianity. And these missionaries are getting my book in there.
Oh my goodness. I
I
love
know.
this because if you didn't remember from the beginning, her book is called All My Hope, A Prisoner No More. And this is truly a book for anyone, really. I mean, it's a book for everyone because it's so powerful to remind you of what God can do and how personal He is in our story. It's amazing. I love what you're doing. And now I just want to take a pause and loop it all away, loop everything, all your experiences and what you've told us, practical advice. I want to loop it all the way back to the girl that you were when you were starting out this book as a young girl, even way back when, your parents were going through keeping you. You know, what would you tell that young girl growing up? What would you tell yourself, young Julie? When those words never say never creeped in, what would you tell yourself if you could go back in time to encourage that girl? Because I'm sure there's somebody here today that is feeling like, oh, I get it, Julie, I got it, but this sounds great. But what is that encouragement to yourself? Because I think that's going to be the freedom for somebody else.
Yeah, I would tell that younger girl that everything you ever need and more in this world and in the next is found in Jesus Christ, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't look at the things that the world tells, that society tells you are important. And also, I would tell that young girl to view circumstances as opportunities, to view hardships as opportunities to become stronger. It, because I spent a lot of my life thinking that I was a victim of things that happened to me. And really, if you think about it, with a tiny perspective switch,
Yeah.
I would tell that girl, you know what? If something hard happens to you, use that as an opportunity to learn, to grow, to get stronger.
Yeah. I think young girls, even myself, I mean, I'm almost 40, and I need that lesson. I need that lesson to know that it's not, life is difficult, right? That's the truth of it, right?
Life is difficult. And sometimes, what is that saying, Jackie, where 80% is your attitude. You know what I mean? Like there, I
Yep.
can't think of the exact quote, but or 20% is what is actually happening to us, but then
Okay.
80% is our attitude.
Okay, that definitely makes sense. And I love that. No, I love that. You know, it's funny you should say that too, because I've been listening to the Love and Respect podcast. And one of the things that, and it's an old one and they don't have it published anymore, but I like to go back and listen to some of those practical advice from the writers of Love and Respect. But one of the things that they had mentioned is gratitude is one of those things you can say thank you and give lip service all you want, but there's power in deep gratitude when you really really deeply appreciate certain things and you go a little bit deeper. Well, what's the root of that appreciation of the house? Well, because my husband has a job and he was able to do this when we were this young, and you know, he was able to accomplish this and I sacrificed so much and I was thankful I was able to stay home. Like all of these things, you know, really have a root. And then the more you get down and spiral down to the root, you can find that deep appreciation and that gratitude, and which can also shift that positive mindset, like you were just talking about. And it is really interesting to know too. There's this book called The Energy Bus, and I just recently, you know, was reading through the past couple of pages and or the first couple of pages. And what I love about it is that it reminds you that joy, you get to bring that to the table, you know? So going back to even what brings you joy, you get to be the joy in someone else's life. So as you're writing your story, or God's writing our stories, right? But as we're kind of loosely holding the pen and letting him guide us, I think we also have to remember to do it joyfully, you know?
Sorry.
And yes, joyfully. And I love that so much. So thank you so much for being an encouragement to everyone listening here. Everyone, you have to get this book. I'm telling you, the miracle, she only scratched the surface of all the things that maybe she's never to that God redeemed. And I think if you're needing that redemption story in your life, the one that reminds you, that stirs your heart to say, God, this could be me. Yeah, this is for you. You need to get this copy and get it for your sister and your friend and your brother and whoever else. So thank you so much. I appreciate your encouragement. And if there's any other last words of encouragement or scripture before we head out, I'd love for our listeners to just hear a little bit more from you.
So what came to me as I was listening to you talk, Jackie, is one of my life passages is James 1, 2 through 4. And it says, count it all joy when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials are something that test our faith and give us an opportunity to stand strong and say, God, I trust you. I'm gonna put my staff across the Red Sea because you told me to, and I'm gonna watch you part the storms in my life so that I can walk through on dry ground.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love that. And I love that you said not lacking anything, because that's why we should not say never, say never. Because God, if you're still breathing, you have breath in your lungs, he is not done. So never say never, because he doesn't want you to lack any good thing, right? And I just love that you are an example of that in your life. And just thank you so much for coming on and sharing pieces of your story. And I hope everyone clicks the link in the show notes so they can grab their copy of All My Hope, A Prisoner No More. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you, Jackie. It is a joy to talk to you and a joy to get to be able to share with your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, everybody, I just want to pause and say thank you so much for coming into this space week after week, or even if this is your first time, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to be encouraged today. If you feel led, don't forget to go ahead over and click subscribe and write a raving review. Give it 5 stars and fill up my bucket today, too. And if you'd like to check out more about our guest speaker today, click on the show notes so you can learn more about them today. Thanks again, everybody, and have a wonderful week.